Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro in our Xfinity studio, and it's our final Eagles Live before training camp begins in late July here at the NovaCare Complex and at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles have completed their three-day full-team minicamp here at the NovaCare Complex. We'll hear from head coach Chip Kelly in just a little bit. Was out there for all three practices. Love the energy. Love the execution. This is going to be a fun football team to watch in training camp and beyond. Got a great show for you today. We'll hear from the head coach. We'll sit down with linebacker Connor Barwin, and we'll talk a little bit more about the topic that everyone wants to discuss, and that is, of course, the quarterback situation. Far too early to discuss depth chart and reps and completion percentage in practice, although certainly so many reporters want to tweet about that. But how about the idea of just getting better, learning the offense, and having a real quarterback competition when training camp begins? That's the way it's going to turn out here, as the Eagles, from this point forward, for the veterans, go their separate ways. They are done practice. They are done with their obligations here at the NovaCare Complex. For the rookie class, well, those young men return to the NovaCare Complex next week for another week of conditioning. At that time, the Eagles will welcome in two of their missing draft picks, second-round pick Zach Ertz and seventh-round draft pick cornerback Jordan Poyer. They will get a crash course on conditioning, on some X's and O's, and they are in catch-up mode as the Eagles turn their attention to preparing for training camp. The only player absent otherwise, defensive tackle Isaac Sopoaga, excused for a family death. So otherwise, things went through very smoothly here for these 3 days. We'll hear from head coach Chip Kelly in just a moment. Let's get you caught up on some of the headlines of the day, shall we? Let's take a look. Off-season practices end after the three-day camp. Good stuff for the Eagles. I really liked what I saw. And what did I see? A lot of up-tempo. An offense that gives you a lot of different looks. Some in the shotgun, some under center. Spread formations. Get to the line of scrimmage quickly. Call plays. Volume. A defense that is pretty complicated, it looks to me, in terms of some of the coverage schemes. I see an aggressive group. I see a group that wants to get to the quarterback with a lot of different looks. Training camp begins at the NovaCare Complex July 26th, just a couple of days later. Saturday, I believe it's the first Saturday. So it's July 27th, I believe. We'll have another practice here at the NovaCare Complex. And then the 28th of July, Sunday, at Lincoln Financial Field, open to the public. Make sure you get there. In just a few moments here, we'll hear from Chip Kelly as he wraps things up at this minicamp. The offensive line, certainly one of the bright spots, many, many bright spots, but certainly one of the obvious bright spots of this camp. There is no depth chart, but the way it looks, Jason Peters, left tackle. Evan Mathis, left guard. Jason Kelsey at the center position. Todd Harriman's at the right guard spot. And number one draft pick, yes, Lane Johnson, working his way into the starting lineup in this camp. Obviously, Eagles rotating a lot of players. Dennis Kelly also competing there, but Lane Johnson making some very nice progress. And earlier today, third-round draft pick Benny Logan signs his contract. So just Lane Johnson, Matt Barkley remain unsigned. Just two draft picks. I do not anticipate any problems between now and training camp getting all of this 2013 draft class signed. Let's throw it over to the NFL Network because, of course, everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. Who will it be? Michael Vick, Nick Foles, Matt Barkley, Dennis Dixon, G.J. Kinney. Not many people mentioning his name, and he's got a long road to hoe to get some playing time here, at least in the training camp period in the preseason games. But the NFL Network goes round and round, a topic that I think that nobody gets tired of talking about, the quarterback, and who might it be when the Eagles open the regular season at FedEx Field against the Washington Redskins.
All right, so Ed Reed is the closer, is what he's saying. Eagles beat reporters have been reduced to tallying Michael Vick and Nick Foles' snap counts daily at this week's minicamp, even though Chip Kelly has told them it's a waste of time. Yes, there's a quarterback competition, we all know that, but Kelly hinted nobody should be deemed the leader just because he touched a ball more in practice. The new coach said, let's see what happens when they put the big boy pads on in training camp. Until then, it's all about the team.
This team, the one thing they've done and the challenge we've had from is they've gotten better every single day. You know, they're real inquisitive. They ask a lot of questions. They really take this very, very seriously. It's real important to them. They've been great in the meeting rooms. They've been great in the walkthroughs, and they've been great in practice. So, you know, for us right now, it's just constant improvement, and that's what we've seen from them. So, you know, that's what we want out of them, and that will continue to be that way because you never arrive in this game. So, if you think you arrive, you're going to get passed on by pretty quick.
All right, so no mention of the quarterbacks. Let's head to Philly and check in with Albert Breer. Yesterday, Chip Kelly told everybody, cool it with the quarterback questions. Foles and Vic are equal on the depth chart right now, according to him. But, Albert, tomorrow wraps up 10 weeks of off-season workouts there in Philly. We won't see these guys again until training camp. Where do things stand right now?
Well, Amber, after 14 years of Andy Reid, the theme here throughout the spring has been changed. So I asked Chip Kelly earlier today how much the team has changed since it reported for the offseason program on April 1st. And his answer was a little surprising. He said, I'm not sure that the team's changed that much at all. He said he's been really impressed with their consistency, how prepared they were when they showed up on April 1st, and how they've kept the work up throughout the process. One thing that certainly won't change, the number one storyline here, like you said, will remain the quarterback competition. That's what it was on April 1st. That'll be what it will be when they show up back up here in late July for the start of training camp. But there are, of course, a lot of interesting quirks, the loud music at practice, the pace going from drill to drill, not something you see in the NFL a whole lot. And I noticed one other thing on the minicamp schedule today. You see the team schedule goes through meetings and practice and workouts and everything else. Then at the very bottom it says, get a minimum of 9 hours of sleep. Very detail-oriented here.
All right, work hard and rest hard as well. Let's talk a little offensive line, Albert. Clearly, it was not the Eagles' strong point in 2012. Have they addressed that weakness sufficiently?
Well, it has been a weakness here for quite some time. They had four players who finished last year injured. The one guy to watch here is left tackle Jason Peters. They're paying him $12 million a year. He's been back, and he's been working out. He returned after a personal absence the last couple with mini camp. They expect him to be full go for training camp, so he still has to lose about 15 pounds. Another good sign, right tackle Lane Johnson is finally working with the first team. So some good signs there. As for the mentality, Chip Kelly's adding speed elsewhere on offense, but he doesn't want to change the attitude up front. Todd Harriman's told me because their offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland, came from the University of Alabama, they're expecting to have a downhill assault mentality here in Philadelphia, which is what they had under Andy Reid as well.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life. In charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut, just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. It is time now to hear Chip Kelly as the Eagles wrap up this three-day minicamp here at the NovaCare Complex. What did Chip Kelly learn? What does he look forward to with training camp on the horizon, just 6 weeks away? Last time we'll hear maybe likely from head coach Chip Kelly. Let's go out to the field now.
I fell asleep at 1-1. So.
Coach, can you talk a little bit just how you feel right now? Is this what you expected at this stage?
I didn't have any expectations going in. The one thing I said, and I said it yesterday, and I'll repeat it again today, we wanted to improve, and I felt like we've improved every day out here. There's a lot of new things for us, for everything. We had to put in schemes, personnel, all that stuff, then go through all different scenarios. So, you got to put them in. You got to coach them on tape. We got real good film again today. We got, they still got lifting this afternoon in meetings, and we're not done for the day. We'll be able to clean up some things. A lot of good scenarios came up in a two-minute drill there that, we got to be able to coach up and talk to those guys about before they take off here, I'm real happy with where they are, where I expect them to be. I didn't have any expectations going in. My expectations were, did they improve every day? And I felt like they've improved every day.
So. What was the most important thing you think you achieved in the spring work?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that. You baffled me. That's a good question, though.
But you are happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm a happy guy.
What's the plan for the next 6 weeks?
What's that? They have a program from our strength and conditioning coaches in terms of what they can do and can't do, and then again by league rules, it's not like we can say, hey, let's meet at these certain times. So, they can lift here, but they can't. We can't have any instruction with them or anything like that. So, they're on their own. They're on their own to work out. So,
are you going to be preparing?
Are you stalking me or something? Yeah, We got work. We're still in the office the next couple of weeks. We got opponent breakdowns to do over our first four games, so we'll get a chance to look at the Redskins and then the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Broncos. So, for our coaching staff, we still got some work to do, but the players will be done after tonight.
How much work do you feel like you still have to do? I mean, it is your first time at it as a head coach in the NFL. Training camp's obviously coming up in a few months before the season starts. How much work do you really think is left here?
There's a ton of work. There's work every day, no matter what. You're never done, and you've never arrived, so there's always something to do. But we got a schedule. We have a yearly schedule, so we know where we're supposed to be and what has to be broken down by when and when we're reporting back here and all those other things. So we have a schedule that we work on, but we'll never ever feel like our work is done. So
you talked a lot about
in building your program here. Why was it so important to you to incorporate some of the sports science principles and hire a sports science coordinator?
Why was it important?
Yeah.
I think what you do with your players is ultimately important. They're the product. They're what you put on the field. So if you can make them bigger and faster and stronger, through using proper nutrition and things like that, then, I think everybody kind of does that. So.
Do you think you're setting a trend sort of in that direction in the NFL?
I've never thought about me being a trendsetter. I tell you, I'm not a trendsetter by how I dress. So I'm just trying to make our team better.
But from a strength and conditioning standpoint, you want to transfer what they're doing in the weight room and exercise to what it can do for you on the football field.
Yeah, I mean, I think just lifting weights. Everybody wants their players. We're training to play the game of football. It's how we negotiate the ground. They're never going to bring a bench press out and put it on the 50-yard line and say, do the most reps.
Right.
It's about training football players, and that's what we're doing. We're training football players. So we're training for the skills they have. They got to be great in change of direction, but they also have to have a certain amount of power. They have to have a certain amount of endurance. So. Those are all the important things that we're working on.
So that would be why you talked a lot about experience that is different so far from college, something that you didn't anticipate or something.
I think your days are different, but we anticipated that. What I mean? But we practiced at Oregon in the morning, and then our kids left and went to class. And then came back at night. So we just don't have that break during the day. That they had, but but in college we had more practices in the spring than you do in the NFL.
Yeah.
We had 13 opportunities, and a lot more limited, and none of them in full pads. In college, you can be in full pads 12 of the 15 days. So, sometimes in college you get more opportunities to do evaluations, and that's why I know we get a lot of questions about the depth chart. But it would be unfair to anybody make a depth chart when we don't have any pads on.
You can break up their concentration too in college, unlike here where everything's got to happen. In the stretch of time that you've got, right?
We have different hours in college. You have them for 4 hours a day. You're in college, and in off-season program, you have them for 6, and then in mini camp, you have them for 8. But there's more you can do in college in the off-season than there is here, and there's also more you can do in the summertime. Our players in college all work out with our strength coach during the summertime, but in the NFL, they're kind of on their own. So it's kind of two different animals from that standpoint.
You talked a lot about guys and not being able to judge them until you saw them on the field. Where do you stand now with that? How much do you actually know about the guys after, OTAs, mini camps, and that kind of stuff?
We got an understanding, I think, of their athletic ability and, how they run, how they change direction and things like that. But there's still a lot of things to be evaluated when you put the pads on because it's still a physical game. A lot of guys look great in shorts and T-shirts, but then all of a sudden they disappear, when you put the pads on. So We have an evaluation, I think, in terms of some athletic ability, how fast some guys are, how their ability to change direction and things like that. But until we really get the pads on, you can't fully evaluate.
How much does that translate to quarterbacks as well? I mean,
quarterbacks don't get hit. You know, it's a totally different game. You know, you can stand there in the pocket and the guys are whizzing by you and tapping you in the hip. You know, it's a different deal when you line up against the Patriots and they are not going to tap you in the hip when they come by you. So, you know, you find out there's a lot of guys that are real tough guys when no one can tackle you, but then when you can tackle you, they turn into a different ball player. So there's a lot of evaluations that still need to be done in a game-like setting. And, you know, we have preseason games to do it and get a chance to get these guys evaluated. So,
Coach, what is your message to your players, your team, as they depart here before training camp? What is the overall message?
No, it's on them, you know, in terms of how they prepare, what they do in the summertime in terms of coming back and when we see them in July. And we'll know. You know, you can't fake it. That's a great thing about the sport. You can't fake football. You know, so if you didn't do any work from the time you left here on June 6th and then show up on July 25th, we'll know because your body will tell you what you can do. You just can't take time off. You know, I think our strength coaches have a good plan that they'll put together and they'll present to them this afternoon. And, you know, and then it's up to them. But it's the same rules for everybody. So it's, I don't think there's any reason to complain about it. That's what everybody's dealing with, the same exact situation. Everybody's going on a break now and everybody's coming back and, you know, whatever it is, 15 days before your first preseason game. And, you know, it's a team that prepares the best over that time that's going to have the advantage. So it's up to them and it's on them. So
safety.
At the same time, is it good for guys to get away and refresh and recharge the batteries, including yourself?
I don't think that way. So I would be here every day if I could.
You don't take a vacation?
This is a vacation. Talking to you guys.
Safety is such a...
What can be done to free him up from double teams? And what's your impression of him overall so far?
I don't know about the double team question or where that came from. And it depends on where you are scheme-wise. You know, it's tough to double team a defensive end, you know. So unless you're turning protections or things like that, but are you doing in the run game? So, you know, I don't think what we're doing with Fletcher is trying to see how we don't get double teams. What we're doing, what you do see with him is he's big, he's fast, he's explosive, and obviously he can be a real impact player for you. So
safety is such a mental position. How has Earl Wolf come along in terms of just his knowledge of the defense for a rookie?
He's picked it up pretty good. You know, he's only been here for a short amount of time, didn't have the mini camp before, so missed 3 days, you know, because he wasn't here before we drafted him. So, but I think he's got a good grasp, came from a good system, was coached really well down at NC State by Tom O'Brien and those guys. So he had a pretty good grasp of football when he came in here. So, again, he's like the rest of those guys. We'll see how he continues to prepare, and we'll finally get an evaluation. We put the pads on in the
Chip. What did you learn about Nick? What did you learn about Nick and Michael in these workouts and the OTAs and minicamps?
You know, kind of what I thought. I mean, they're both very, very coachable. They both want to win. They're both here as many hours as they possibly can be here. They're both really work at the game. You know, they want to get better. Doesn't matter how long Mike's been in the league or Nick, you know, what systems he come from. They're both really, you know, kind of wrap their arms around what Billy and Pat are teaching them. So I think it's fun, you know, and for all the guys here, it's been kind of refreshing. You didn't know what the reception was going to be like when you got here, or guys going to be like, well, you know, you guys got to show us what you know before you do it. These guys jumped in with both feet and have been fantastic in terms of picking things up. So.
There's always been talk that the option, you know, won't work in the NFL. You seem to be running quite a bit of it. Is that a fallacy? Why?
Is it a fallacy that we run quite a bit of it?
No. Is it a fallacy that it can't work in the NFL?
I don't know. That's the San Francisco 49ers. If Jimmy thinks it's a fallacy, or ask Pete Carroll if he thinks it's a fallacy with Russell Wilson. So, you know, it's not like we're doing something that someone hasn't done in this league. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've seen Kaepernick run up and down the sidelines, so I think maybe the people thought it was a fallacy because the ball was in the other guy's hands.
You think that's why it was accepted by the veterans so quickly here? I mean, that you came in here with...
No, because we don't... I mean, I think that's the biggest misconception. If you watch us, we may run two of them in a practice. So, you know, we don't come in here and say, hey, we got this play that no one knows about, watch it, and we run it twice, you know? We have an offense that has a great... you know, a great size to it in terms of what we're doing. That's just one small part of it. And it's a weapon to be used. It's kind of like a tool in your toolbox. You know, if that situation comes up, you use that tool, but that situation may not come up. We may not use that tool, you know, but we have it in our toolbox. And that's what we want to do with our offense is have enough tools in our toolbox where we can go out and compete every Sunday. And, you know, and then we got to see what the situation presents to us, what the problems are, and take those tools out. So
how much is your offense, the playbook and the plays that you've been kind of running here in practice, has it changed from
Yeah, we've did because we got a whole different bunch of guys in the room, you know, and I think that's the great thing about what we did offensively and defensively is, you know, first and foremost, when I was hiring staff, I wanted to hire a lot of smart people. And then let's sit together as a group and kind of say, all right,
what are we doing in the quick game? What did you do in the quick game? How do we want to do the quick game? This is what we did here. This is how we called it. How did you call it when you were in Cleveland, Pat? Billy, what did you call it? Bobby Bick came from the Buffalo Bills. How did you call it? How did Jeff Stoutland do it at Alabama? How do we do it? And then we all came up with a kind of what's the best way for the 2013 Eagles to run it. So, and we did it with every phase, whether it's the screen game, the quick game, the drop back game, the run game, all those things. What's our 2-minute offense going to look like? It's I think it's a collaboration from everybody that we put together on our staff, and everybody has a say. You know, we'll all talk it through, and then we'll all as a group decide on what's the best thing to move forward.
So, with that being said, about how much of the offense is installed at this point as you head to camp?
Percentage-wise, or
about half?
Would we want to go fractions, or I'd say 2/3.
What's your plan for the rookies during these next 2 weeks?
You can't be on the field with them, so you know it's a lot of they're still learning kind of how we do things in the weight room. So they'll spend time with Josh and those guys in the weight room in terms of how that works, and then we'll do some just kind of show them how to get from point A to point B. I think right now they know how to get from the hotel at the airport, how to get to here. So, you know, there's some different things that, you know, just trying to get them acclimated to where we are and how things are going to work. So it's
Poyer and Zach will be here.
They're supposed to be here, I think. So I think they're coming in Sunday night and should be here for Monday because the last day for classes. No, they got another week. I think the last day for classes is the 14th. So yes.
What would your training camp be like? What's your, what would you tell people about Chip Kelly's training camp?
It'll be at the NovaCare Center. One NovaCare Way, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19145. It'll be kind of like what we do now. You know, it's not much different than minicamp, you know, except we'll have pads on, you know, for a certain amount of it. When there'll be a little bit, it'll be a lot more physical than what it's been in the minicamp session. But, you know, our practices are right around the same time frame, kind of set up the same exact way. So it's not like it's a radically different thing when all of a sudden you go to training camp. So, you know, we'll walk in the morning, and the days we're allowed to have double days, you know, we'll have some of them, but not a ton of them. And, you know, we really get into games pretty quick because you really only got about a week and a half where you have to start playing games. So, you know, then you kind of get into game weeks. So
you got 5 weeks from now until training camp. What do you expect from your guys between now and the start of camp?
I expect them to be professional and prepare like this is their year, you know, and that's the what I think they expected themselves. And so, you know, this is your job, and this is what you lived your whole life to be a, you know, to play in the NFL. Now you get an opportunity, so there's a responsibility that goes with that, you know. So I believe it's a privilege to play in this league, and with that privilege goes responsibility. So, you know, I expect our guys to work their tails off when they're not here.
Coach, in that vein, have you thought about what it's going to be like to cut players? Because Andy Reid and other NFL coaches say that that's the hardest part of the job.
That is.
Have you thought about that?
It's hard. We already cut players here. Yeah. You know, we've let some guys go here, and it's a difficult time. But I think they know that coming in. There's just the sheer numbers. There's 90 guys here when we start camp on July 25th, and there's going to be 53 when the season starts on September 9th, and that's just the reality of it. So it's, you know, they know that going in, and they understand that. But it'll be difficult when that time comes.
Two more questions, guys.
Chip, do you have a gut feeling right now, like, that you have enough tools in that toolbox to compete in the NFC East? I mean,
I haven't watched enough film of Dallas, the Giants, the Redskins, or any of that. And I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not concerned with that right now. I'm concerned with our guys getting better every day, and that's what they've done. So, you know, you're not going to put the cart before the horse and say, hey, we're this. And I looked at, you know, everybody had new acquisitions. I don't know what the rookies for the Cowboys are like, or the rookies for the Redskins are like, or what their free agent acquisitions are like. So, you know, I have no idea. So for me to compare ourselves to somebody else, I've never been that way anyways. We compare ourselves to ourselves, and did we improve every day? And I think that's what we did. And that's the only thing we can count on, because that's we got the guys we got are the guys we got. You know, we can't start signing free agents in September, you know. So we got 90 guys here, and we'll continue to work with them. So.
So far, I mean, as rookie wide receivers.
Say that again. They're doing a decent job. You know, there's a learning curve for those guys because I don't think they haven't been in the National Football League before, but both of them are real eager, work extremely hard. You know, Russell's done a great job. He's really become pretty close with Jason Avant. You kind of see those guys kind of tag teaming and going around together. Jason's kind of taking them under his wing. And, you know, Mo's just kind of knocking the rust off. He missed his senior season at Boston College because of an injury, so he's kind of 2 years removed from playing. So, you know, the one thing when you see with him is continuing to improve every day, you know, from when we first worked him out in a tryout and then brought him in. You know, he got better during the rookie camp, and you saw him improve over that. So, you know, I'm excited about both those guys, but, you know, we've got some competition out there, so they add to that. So,
okay. No running with the Bulls.
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
In his second year now, inside linebacker Michael Kendricks joins me, Dave Spadaro, in our Xfinity studio. Michael, what a year it's been, right? I mean, it flies by, year number one. Now you are a seasoned veteran.
I know.
Welcome to the club, man.
Thank you.
How was your one?
Your one was a crazy one, but it was a good one.
Yeah.
Great year to learn, you know?
You learn through adversity, right?
I learned through adversity, and there's no other way. There's no better way to learn than through adversity. That's definitely a true statement.
Did you use the time in the off season prior to coming here as a period of reflection, or did you kind of put it out of your mind?
A little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? There was a time right after where, you know, you kind of want to forget, but, you know, later on you're like, okay, I'm going into season two. What can I get better at?
Mm-hmm.
What was I like last year? What were the things that I can get better on? You know what I'm saying? So there was a little bit of trying to forget, but then also at the same time having to reflect on that year too.
These are the questions that I want to ask you. How was last year? What can you get better on? You know, in the big picture, Michael, mm-hmm. I imagine you proved to yourself last year that you can be a very good player in this league. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. I can be a very good player in this league for sure. I feel like it's just going to take a lot of work, you know, and a lot of hard work and a lot of patience and just understanding of the whole game in itself.
But that's more of a mental thing than the physical.
Even
part.
Though last year was last year, you know, there's times of you can get doubtful, you know what I'm saying? Where you're like, man, this, because the league is hard, man. It's a hard thing. But I'm always hard on myself, even though people are telling me, oh, I did such a good job. I don't necessarily see it that way. I feel like I can be so much better,
Last year, I remember, I mean, for the first, I don't know, 5 months of your NFL career, every time you saw a reporter, it was like, hey, Michael, are you going to be tall enough to cover all these tall tight ends? Mm-hmm. And you don't hear that anymore, do you?
No. I proved that. I definitely cover the tight ends. I did a good job. You know, there's a couple times I could have did better, but for the most part, I had a lot of PBUs last year.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, against tight ends.
I wanted to see you up the field. I wanted to blitz more.
It was, you know, I was mad on those tight ends, man. For real.
Which was a great experience for you.
I learned
you a better,
lot.
A more well-rounded
I learned
linebacker.
A whole lot. I went from, in college, rushing a lot and just covering the run. And I dropped in zones, but never too much man-on-man. You know what I mean? And that was a big transition for me. And I learned a lot last year, and now I'm so much better. I can cover man-to-man. I know that now. So if there's ever a time where we're in five or one, you know, I'm not stressing. You know, I got it down. I got it down pat.
So in this defense, which is going to be at times a 3-4, at times a 4-3, when you are in a 3-4 inside, how does that change your, in layman's terms, level of responsibility?
I have an extreme amount of responsibility. I'm making the calls. I'm making all adjustments, and
that's great.
Yeah, and that within itself teaches you a whole, I mean, whenever you have a responsibility like that, it forces you to learn. You know what I'm saying? Before last year, you know, we had one person making the call. That was D'Amico, and I was just, you know, observing and just in the game. This year, I'm tuned in. I'm zoned in. You know what I'm saying? I have to be, because it's that critical of me to know what's going on.
You have to become a professional in the truest sense of the word in a very short period of time,
yeah.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And that means what in terms of your daily life? Does that mean more time in the book, less time on the street? To what, you know what I mean? Not being on the streets, but I mean
just dedication. You know, I'm moving into the second year. I'm a veteran, and you know, there's just a whole bunch of responsibilities that I'm going to be responsible for. So that's gonna cause a lot of it's gonna cause me to stay home a lot more. I'm gonna have to be in my book. I'm gonna have to get my rest.
Yeah,
you know, I can't stay up till 12 o'clock at night.
DVR it, baby.
Yeah, for real. For real. Yeah.
Physically, any questions at all? Or I guess the better question: when did those physical doubts go away? In terms of, this game is not too fast for me. These guys are not too big for me. I can handle all the mental stuff. Immediately.
I'm a linebacker, man. I got full confidence, man. I don't care. I think like that. I've always thought like that. You're not going to beat me ever. That's just how I am. But to be real, I'm also a realist at the same time. Even though I may talk a lot, I know in the back of my mind, okay, this guy's big as hell.
Yeah.
There's a possibility he could beat me. But, I mean, all that went out the window when you're strapped up and you're in the game. You know what I'm saying? You don't think about that. It's you against him. You know, you against the other team. My team against theirs. So all that stuff goes out the window. But I would say, like, man, there's one time where I picked up the running back from Dallas. What's his name? Number 29, I think.
Yeah, to me, Murray.
Murray.
DeMarco Murray.
Great player.
Yeah.
Beast of a player, right? Freaking runs hard, tall guy. And you know, even we lost that game, and it was towards the end, but and that was late in the season as well. But when I picked him up and I got him, I was just like, man, like, I'm here for real. Like, I've arrived. Like,
oh,
so,
cool.
I mean.
Welcome to
the
NFL.
There's little things like that, you know what I mean, that just lets you know.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying? Little things like that, it just make you.
That was a beast move.
You know what I'm saying? There's little things like that that just assure you, you know, you're supposed to be here.
What is it? What qualifies a player who, and everyone's talented, why are you a success when there are others who are probably as talented as you who don't make that critical step from college to the NFL? Is it the willingness to sacrifice, to be coached, to be humble, to be a hard worker? What is it? What is the secret, man?
Man, you know, I'm a true believer in creating your own universe and really believing in yourself. You know what I'm saying? And it's all about the words that you speak and the words that you truly believe. I mean, I don't ever tell myself I can't. I'll tell you that much. So maybe that's a little piece of the secret. You know, there's that aspect of it. There's the aspect of, you know, just overcoming, just having to. I've always had to prove other people wrong. You know what I'm saying? And last year, being too short, you know, not being able to cover the tight ends was just fuel to the fire. You know, that's little things like that pushed me.
All right, here's your fuel this year. RG3, the read option, all that stuff that they're running. How do you stop it in the NFL? How are defenses going to catch up to that read
option? I have my own way of, I mean, I swear I have a, we could, I mean.
Don't give a secret.
No, I mean.
Is it a read that you make?
It's being patient and knowing what's coming at you before it comes. You know what I'm saying? So. You know, that's all within the game plan. I mean, I have my own game plan that I know would work, but it's not about what I think would work. You know what I mean? It's about what's going to be good, better for the team.
Do you at all daydream, Michael, at all about
all the time.
First game of year?
Oh, daydream about the game.
That far ahead. Do you ever allow yourself to get that far ahead and say, I'm going to be playing against RG3 if he's healthy?
Most
Monday
definitely.
Night football game.
Last night I couldn't sleep because I was calling plays in my sleep. Like, not versus RG3, but
right. –
For practice the next day, I'm in my sleep. I'm dreaming about practice.
I think Bill Davis would be very
happy
to hear that.
It's not. I'm like trying to get some sleep.
Yeah.
I'm calling calls in my sleep and stuff, and it's just It's throwing me off. I'm losing sleep here.
Well, you know, hey, it's that time of the year. You're getting into the off-season. You're getting ready. What are you going to do between now and the rest of, you know, when training camp begins? How will you kind of unwind and then ramp it back up?
Well, I'm going to go home, be with my family, watch my sister graduate.
Nice.
And after that, I'm getting right into it, getting my body right, getting my mental.
Will you lift hard? Will you work out hard in that period of time?
I will.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Cool. And no.
When I come back, I should be a little more rocked up.
Okay.
A little bigger, a little heavier, a little faster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And then training camp begins. Now you are used to the pace of all this practice. It seems like a tremendous amount of energy.
I think I'm used to what's going on now, but mm-hmm. training camp, that's a whole nother curveball. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna be ready for the worst.
We look forward to it. Michael,
I appreciate you having me here.
Good rookie season. Yes, sir. More coming from Michael Kendricks in 2013. We thank you for joining us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. Thanks to Michael Kendricks for making his way here. And really confident young man, obviously, wants to build on that rookie season, new position, new defense, big possibilities for Michael and for this Eagles defense. We invite your phone calls, 215-339-6709. As the Eagles conclude the three-day minicamp, the best news of all is that there are no injuries to report from this camp. Eagles should, I think, be really, really healthy going into training camp in late July. And that is a great sign for a team that's trying to come together, build some chemistry, develop some players in new schemes. Understanding that they're going to have all of their players is just a real positive. I mean, what I saw out there, look, I saw the offense. They like to spread the field. There were some plays under center. It's not all shotgun. It's not crazy college football here. It is very orchestrated. Take advantage of speed. Take advantage of some matchups. Going to be interesting to see how Ertz is implemented into this offense, how James Casey, who missed the camp because of his knee injury, how he's implemented into the offense. These are the things that we didn't see in this camp, but that we will see, obviously, in training camp. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. And in a moment, we're going to talk a little bit with the NFL Network, who wants to go into the fantasy world, which is not too far away. What are the fantasy values of quarterback Michael Vick and running back LeSean McCoy? Good question. I mean, who's the starting quarterback? Is Michael Vick the starting quarterback? Is LeSean McCoy just part of a rotation at running back, or does he get 25 carries a game, 26 touches a game? Good stuff to talk about in just a moment. All right, let's go to Fort Lauderdale and talk to JC in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. How you doing, JC?
I'm doing great today, Dave.
Great, man. Welcome.
All righty, man. I got a couple questions for you, man.
Go ahead.
I wanted to see how many maybe receivers do you think that might keep on the roster this year?
Excellent question. Jackson, Macklin, Avant, Demaris Johnson, Riley Cooper, Aurelius Ben is six. Who else?
You got Shepard.
Developmental player, unless he unless he just dominates in camp. Moma, developmental player, unless he dominates in camp. I think you probably keep five. I mean, I don't know how you can keep, let's say, four. Here's really the questions. Here's the three. Running back, you're going to keep three or four halfbacks. Because Chris Polk, they like Chris Polk a lot. And they like Felix Jones a lot. And obviously they like Bryce Brown and LeSean McCoy. At tight end, do you keep Celek, Casey, Ertz, and Clay Harbor?
Wow.
Or you know, does Derek Carrier make a move? So, listen, Emil Iguanagu is still on the roster. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a little shocked about that. Now, he must be doing something right. Will Shaw, another tight end here. Does he keep three? Does he keep four tight ends and three halfbacks? Or four halfbacks and three tight ends? Why would you need, if you're keeping four tight ends, to keep five wide receivers? All very good questions, JC. Remains to be seen.
Exactly. And I just feel like, man, there's a lot that, you know, when it comes down to training camp and when we get to preseason, it's going to be really scary to see, you know, the roster cutdowns, because we got some, you know, some huge talent on the roster right now.
Says me, let's see how it works out in practice. I think having the couple of days with the New England Patriots will be very revealing. Obviously, the four preseason games, extremely important. It looks like they've got a lot of young talent, but they haven't worn pads yet. So I think right now the best approach is to be a little bit more cautious, reserved in our praise, and let's see some of these young players play. As far as veterans, you know, whoever's proven it in the NFL, yeah, you can be very excited about. Felix Jones, tremendously excited about him. Matthew Tucker from TCU, I'm excited about him. I like what I see out here, but out here there's no pads on.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I got one last question for you.
Sure.
How's Antonio Dixon, Vinnie Curry, and Trevard Lindley? Because I still see that, you know, he's been around, especially Trevard Lindley. He's still around.
Yeah,
you know,
Trevard Lindley. Trevard Lindley, one of a number of larger cornerbacks we'll see in the mix. Who was the second one you said? It was Antonio Dixon?
And Vinnie Curry.
Vinnie Curry has put on, thank you for the phone call, Vinnie Curry's put on a lot of weight, looks quick out there, running with the twos behind Fletcher Cox at the right defensive end position, defensive tackle, defensive end. And then Antonio Dixon sidelined a little bit here during this camp, giving Clifton Gathers an opportunity to rise up and take some very important reps in the interior of the defensive line with Sopo Aga missing from action. So Dixon, Sopo Aga, Gathers appear to be the anchors that the Eagles are looking to inside with this defense, whether it's 3-4, 4-3, as they go back and forth. I think the defense is going to give you a lot of different looks. What will the base be? Could be, you know, either one, depending on the opponent. But I think ultimately they want to have a lot of versatility up front, and that's why getting Benny Logan signed, a big deal. Get him in, get a lot of reps, and see what he can do in training camp. All right, fantasy value. Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, the NFL Network discusses.
Let's do 32-32 in South Philly, the Eagles in the spotlight today. We took Super Bowl champion Heath Evans during the commercial break and had him do your entire 16-game schedule, ooh, week one to week four.
Yep.
It goes this way all the way, and you've got him going 7-9.
Yes,
explain yourself.
I do. Philly fans, just relax a little bit. There's so many unknowns. What does a Chip Kelly team look like? We just don't know. So this is based on the information I've had from years past. I want to look at a couple stretches here, right? This first one, week one through four. Yes, listen, three losses, tough stretch, but Andy Reid coming back home.
Right.
Now, what do we know about Andy Reid? When he has a ball-secure quarterback, he's pretty good. He's got Alex Smith. These last two quarterbacks he's had there, 71. Interceptions and fumbles, 71 in the last 2 years. So I think that's going to continue. That's a big loss when Andy Reid comes back home.
You got him going 1-3 to start the season. Yeah. You got a four-game win streak
exactly.
in here, though.
And look who they're beating. Green Bay.
Wow.
All I have is Colin Kaepernick in my head. All this running 181 yards.
Okay.
What do we expect Michael Vick, Chip Kelly to be? Exactly that, an undisciplined defense. I think they go on a nice little streak here, get to a point here at the end of the season where they start making a push.
Okay, so they're 6-6
right
here.
Now they've got a chance for four games. Listen, a lot of points scored, a physical team. This is the game right here that I'm just, ooh, I like it. Adrian Peterson,
yeah.
What have we seen in the past? Weakness from Philadelphia. So, Philly fans, I'm sorry. This is the best I can get you. I'm pretty sure this is going to be close.
It would still be a 3-win improvement from last year's 4-win team. Heath, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, in celebration of over 75 years of our Government Employees Insurance Company,
or GEICO, as most of you know it,
I propose savings for everyone. I'm talking hundreds here, and furthermore...
Breaking news, the GEICO is demanding free pudding.
And political parties that are actual parties, with cake and presents. No, that was good. It's too bad nobody could hear me.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. The last thrill that we had, obviously, to the NFL Network was Heath Evans telling you why he thinks the Eagles will go 7-9 this year. I think that's a boundary that doesn't need to be established. Let's go out and win the first game and take it from there. All right, let's do that. Now we want to talk about the fantasy value of Michael Vick and LeSean McCoy. You know, I know that's in the back of your mind. You all do it. I think I would say 3 out of 4 football fans play some kind of fantasy football. Kind of adds to the fun of the football season. Where would you draft Michael Vick? Where would you draft LeSean McCoy? The NFL Network discusses.
The Eagles will have a new look offense under new coach Chip Kelly, but can it turn back the fantasy clock for Michael Vick? The best fantasy quarterback in 2010, Vick has missed a combined 9 games over the last 2 seasons. Kelly's system calls for more designed runs and fits Vick's skill set, but whether or not he can stay out of the trainer's room remains to be seen. Overall, Vick should be seen as a high-end number 2 fantasy quarterback and is well worth a look in the middle to late rounds.
Vick is going to run. Vick scores!
This is one of the things that makes Michael Vick so valuable.
A player with fewer question marks is LeSean McCoy. Despite a disappointing 2012 campaign, the versatile veteran is in line to rebound under Kelly. His lead running backs have almost always thrived in the stat sheets. Just take a look at what Michael James did at Oregon. McCoy is a perfect fit for an offense that will allow him more than a share of opportunities to produce. So despite what he did or didn't do last season, McCoy is a virtual lock to come off the board in round 1.
Makes a man miss, comes to the 10, the 5, touchdown, Shady McCoy!
Hey, it's never too soon to start thinking about fantasy football. Be sure to check out the NFL.com Fantasy Draft Kit release show this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, only on NFL Network.
Well, there you go. What better way to end it than to look ahead to fantasy football, the regular season, just around the corner. We want to thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. We will be back with our training camp coverage. We are preparing a lot of great features for you, including The Journey. For those of you who've watched for years, The Journey returns with a whole new cast of hopefuls trying to make this 53-man roster. They return on the 26th of July, 90 men. Trying to last until September when the Eagles cut down to 53 players, and we'll be there every step of the way for you with our training camp coverage live from the NovaCare Complex and from Lincoln Financial Field. We thank you for joining us today. Make sure you're with us the rest of the way between now and training camp coverage for you every day for your favorite football team. I'm Dave Spadaro. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Step it up. I'll fight for you. Let's go.